Happy Father's Day. Happy Daddy Day. For all those worthy of the distinction, the honor of making this distinction, you made the cut because you're a responsible parent. And that may be male or female, but the responsibility that goes around it will not be taken for granted for the next 3.5-4 hours, because we will honor those that get the job done, that don't come up short, that hopefully will be honored today and be fed like a king, and we will come up with that dream plate. What is the dream plate that will be delivered to old daddy today? And what brings upon that smile? What will be the 4 items that are mandatory to be on that plate? Those 4 items, think about it. Don't rush. You can hit your boy up on X at Rick Doc Walker. Donald, the Honorable Donald D, is behind the glass. And we will honor the gladiators, male and female, because there have been some rotten dads that have opened up the door, and a lot of females have had to step up and play both roles, play offense and defense, to get the job done. There have been a lot of people that have not been the biological fathers that have stepped up and filled the role that some other people shrank and did not fulfill the role. It's one thing to be called a dad, a father, but the other thing is to get the job done. Those 4 items that have got to be on that plate that will be honored. And I do hope, and Donald, I'm going to ask you this. Aside of the meat, what is the one side that's got to be on that plate that's delivered to you?
Yeah, besides any protein, the first thing that came to my mind was some mac and cheese for sure.
Oh, mac and cheese.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's got to be, I'm thinking that's got to be a plate.
On it, yeah, yep. Okay. Man, I got to be honest with you. Grilled corn on the cob.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Dog, I'm telling you what, I've been wrestling with this thing. It's going to be interesting. Now, I'm hoping now at 10:03 in the nation's capital, I'm going to need you. Now, I don't like to lean on him because I felt like yesterday I owed G from the shop an apology because I wrote him like Secretariat yesterday. And the coach is going to join us at the bottom of the hour because the coach came up with a very interesting bit of information. We're talking about coaching. And I asked a question. I'm not coaching anything but youth. Coach McAdams, D.C. Hall of Famer. But I thought that Jason Kidd had to take some of his responsibility of his superstars coming up short, being one-way players. And they came up. And I said, hey, Coach Kidd, job well done. If your bench is not getting the job done, at what point do we look at the coach? Okay, they got job done. Same thing with Edmonton. I mean, how do you get swept in finals? I'm not saying you got to win it. Hell, I grew up the Laker guy. You know, we lost more in the finals than you could ever want to imagine. But the only people who can talk trash to me are the people like the Celtics, people who beat us. Everybody else, you need to zip your lip. Because you was home filling your belly up. You get swept in championship competition. Are you kidding me? And Edmonton. Say, how you like that? Because I was about to say, of course, you know what I mean. I'm taking notes. My boy the Rooster. He got a groundswell going. I give him all the credit in the world. I mean, he ain't the only one talking about it. Because, you know, Grant Paulson, he's been swinging that stick about, and rightfully so. We need to talk more puck. No doubt about it. Both those dudes are doing their job, man. They're ambassadors for a great game. I'm glued to it because I'm taking notes. I mean, Al Kokin joined us yesterday, the one and only. He's a classic. Kokin's like a 57 Chevy, fully restored. He's boy with us yesterday and or Friday, whenever. I mean, whenever you can get Al Kokin. We had him Saturday. Then you get Al Kokin. And because the brother is a giver. And he was feeding me like an infant on hockey 40 years ago. And he just keeps on giving. And if you are into golf and you're into hockey, you got to go to Norbeck.com. Because one of the great golf tournaments in our area will be on next Friday. How smart are they doing a Friday golf tournament? And the Locker, Beninati, all the boys, man. Langway. I'm telling you what, if you into Rock the Red, then you don't want to miss it. The Locker Foundation and what Craig does, and we ride Craig because he's the best at what he does. And Beninati will not be in a three-piece suit. He'll actually wear golf gear. Donald, how have you been, man?
I've been good. Can't complain. Enjoying all this playoff sports. So you already brought it up, the NHL, the NBA. So MLB is.
Were you with me on this to get swept?
How do you get swept
in finals?
Yeah. I'm glad the other teams have held out and extended the series. But I'm with you. Yeah, I was like, if both of these are a sweep, that's crazy.
You got to be kidding me. Yeah, I'm prejudiced because I'm a contact hound. I need contact. We on the weekend, Slim. We need content.
We do.
The hell are you going to get swept? Unacceptable. Unacceptable. And thank goodness that it didn't happen. Did you make any money last night on Tank Davis?
I didn't put anything down, but I did watch the fight, though. But I didn't put any money
down.
You
didn't play? Oh, Eminem. I know Eminem.
Oh, you know Eminem he did.
Oh, my God. Do I know he did? I'm telling you what, man. I love our degenerates. I mean, they're just like, and I really, it's like, it's not even fair to them because they can't help it. They have to play. They're not playing for fun. They're playing because for oxygen, that's the only way they can breathe. And they are on a good roll, man. A lot of them are winning, and I'm so happy for them. You know, if you like torture, is there anything better than now? Is freakish. If you got a three-stroke lead in the U.S. Open on this course, which is like an amusement park, you mess around, don't hit the right spot, that ball's another zip code. And my boy, he's hanging in there. It's crazy. I mean, I always really enjoy watching the Opens because the best in the world, or it's a degree of difficulty, and yet they sign up for it and they go after it, realizing that it's going to be frustrating for some. And then there's always a Tiger factor. He don't make the cut, but you know what? He's grinding. Now, I believe, and here it is, that before he puts the spikes up and goes all corporate, he will win a major. What say you?
Yeah, that's definitely a statement. I would definitely think he would win maybe another tournament or two potentially, but a major is tough, especially with the talent that's out there.
That's good. That's why I'm saying. That's why, because it's tough. Well, he's tough.
For sure.
He's a freak. So, yeah, I'm willing to put it on it. Nobody has agreed with me yet, but what's new? Another thing, too, that I really want to say, without us being on this, now we're all jumping on the bandwagon. This WNBA thing, man, it's real. I watched Asia Wilson last night, and watching Liberty and Sparks, whenever a champion, starts to struggle, and we're watching it, and, I mean, it's real. Yeah, it started off, there's some hype, and we're going to watch Caitlin, blah, blah. But seriously, it is a fixture on my sports menu. You know, I'm peeping it out. I'm really checking. I'm happy that the Mystics, you know, got off the snide, got a victory, all that's good. But I'm like, now, it is part of my normal menu. And where I'm peeping it out, no more or no less than I would other event that I'm interested in. I mean, not on no level with the Curly W's. I mean, that was last night. I hope you peeped a minute of that. Because, I mean, I'm not going to get overly excited. When you start hitting records, coming out of the cocoon, you go, wait a minute, did I see what I saw last night? Man, I'm talking, when you, Strasburg? Clearly, the rest is history. When you come out and that, and all I'm saying, just throwing it out there, the Nationals might want to bring her back. Again and again and again. Before we go to break, let's squeeze Dr. Sabah in with us. Our first call of the day on Father's Day. And, you know, you and your pets, and, of course, we know that you and your husband are fantastic parents. And so we family on Father's Day. How are you, Doctor?
I'm doing great, Doc. Listen, I'm honoring you. It's your day. Happy Father's Day. No days off for the goat, I guess. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. I was like, even Doc can't get Father's Day off. And I know you raised, I think, is it two off? Wonderful boys? Oh, you don't want to offer.
Three.
Two, right? Two boys you got?
Three and counting.
Okay. I just know that. And counting. Okay, anyway. I just know that
well,
they're not Lakers
coach.
Fans or something. Right?
No, Celtic. No. Yeah. What kid follows his dad with a sports team? Who does that? The rivalry. Yeah. My father was a San Francisco Giants fanatic.
Oh, wow.
And that's what prompted me. I didn't know anything about Dodgers. I just knew that he hated them. And that was his rival.
I got you.
And I said, okay, well, game on. Yeah.
Well, my skip generation, my parents didn't care nothing about sports, so I got all into it with my brothers. But I just want to make sure to shout out the Happy Father's Day to all the canines out there, G from the shop, and Polly, and Jonesy, and Bones, and Laugh, and Toothpick, and even JYD, who says, I know nothing about sports. And,
yeah, well, you know
and
what?
I'm sure
they're,
I've missed a few.
They're an honorary group, but I'll tell you what, they're going to probably all be honored today, because they may be quirky, but they're all passionate, and
they've
I know they
it.
Do all they can for their families. And that's
and real
what
quick,
this is
Doc,
all about, is that you do the best you can with what you have.
That's right. That's right. You know, mean, a father, when you're a father or a mother, you know this, a piece of your heart is no longer in your body. And when that kid hurts, you hurt. And when they're happy, you're happy. You feel all their pains. And only parents will understand that. But yesterday, man, I cannot believe how much golf I watched. Bryson is my man. I tell you, he's got the trifecta. He's got the looks, the talent, and the personality. I love his game. I've always liked him, even when the rest of the people didn't. I liked him because he wanted to be different. And he is going to kill it today. I can't wait. We're golfing today with my husband. That's what he wanted to do. So we're out going to go get golfing in a little bit. Going to come back and watch Bryson. Finish this thing off, and I cannot stand McAvoy. I hope he misses every shot. I do not like that guy at all.
Don't hate, don't hate.
Sorry, I just don't like him. He's smug and breaks up with people on
the
internet. Who does that, Doc? Oh, my God, he's so mentally weak. Well, I'm looking forward to today. And again, happy Father's Day to all of
you
guys. Love all of y'all, and you guys are great people. I'm so glad to be part of the K9 family. Thank
Have
you, Doc.
Have a good one. Be good. Bye-bye. we're going to break on that. Sabah, hey, you know what? Be you. That's the beautiful thing what we do. We open these locker room doors open. Come on in. Be yourself. Be you. And we try not to have a lot of rules because we don't want to spoil it. We'll take our first break. We'll come back. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Bottom of the hour, here's a question for you again. And somebody passes along to G when he wakes up. The five greatest sinners, NBA-wise, of all time. Brother Carpenter and his Wolverine tribe, they get together, and obviously there must be some alcohol involved in it because they came up with the notion that one individual, who I will not mention his name, is not in their top five. So I'll put the question out. I said we got a worldwide audience, and I will ask you, your top five NBA centers of all time, and then we'll have Coach come on at the bottom of the hour. Stick and stay with us here. Overtime on Responsible Daddy's Day right here on The Fan. I got an idea for you today, Donald. I think that it's going to get crazy up in here once G actually wakes up. Let's go to the line, Southeast District of Columbia. Bonesy, K9, happy Father's Day.
Mom. Doc, happy Father's Day to you and all the K9s, man, all the T980 personalities and stuff like that, man. Happy Father's Day. Thank you, Sabah. We appreciate you. Doc, that top five, man, I was sitting here marinating with that top five on the centers, man. You know, and I came up with, you know, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem. You know, then I came up with Shaq. And I came up, I got a tie with Hakeem Olajuwon and Tim Duncan, man. You know, that fifth one, man, I got a tie with Hakeem and Tim Duncan, man. You know, and that's a tough one right there, man. You know, them top five centers, man, because then you got people like Patrick Ewing and them, right? But they ain't win no championship, you know? And I put Hakeem in there because he did get two of them, so I got him in there before David Robinson. You know, I think David got one, you know, but Hakeem got two. So, man, that top five is mean, man. But that's mine right there. I'm going to marinate with that, man. Hey, look, I love you guys, man. You know, I'm going up here, do some grocery shopping, get me some lamb and put it on the grill. I got a stick already in the house, man, so I'm going to be in the backyard chilling. Now you
all right,
it,
man.
Please.
All right, appreciate that, man. Happy Responsible Daddy's Day. Well, Brian Carpenter and his Wolverine alumni contingency, they came up with their top five, and I'm not going to bust him. I told him he must have been drinking when they did this, but that's okay. By the time we turn this bad boy over today, we will have come to a conclusion on this because we got some real pros we're dealing with. Butch McAdams coming up. After the break, JYD in the District of Columbia. Happy Responsible
Happy Father's
Daddy's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Doc, and to all the guys out there. Well, I would say my top five is the same as the guy who said it before me. Except
Bonesy.
Bonesy. I'm not putting Duncan in there. And I'm not putting David Robinson in there. I would leave it just with, you know, like he added.
So you got Kareem,
five.
Bill, Wilt, Shaq, and who's your fifth? Olajuwon?
Right.
Okay, good.
Right. And as far as the Nationals, they playing some fantastic baseball right now. The guy Hurst yesterday, he got in the record book.
He was wicked.
Well, yeah, you know, he's had. I think this is his third start. His first one, you know, didn't turn out too good. Then I think Saturday before last, he pitched or whatever, and he didn't win, but he improved on his first start, and then yesterday he was lights out.
Yeah. No, it worked out. It worked out good. Every run production behind him, having an enthusiastic crowd, all of that helps. But this young man, he had command, he had control. I just love his demeanor, man. And that's what, anytime you match anything that Steven Strasburg did, you in high cotton. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you can get your name, you know, first of all, to make it to the majors, to get called up, and to make it to the majors and get your name in the record book, like you say, besides Strasburg. Or whatever. Yeah. Hey, you know, you got some great potential. The only thing about it is that you got to continue to live up to it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, consistency is everything. But don't eat too much today, DYD. We're going to break on this. When we come back, we will ask the Hall of Famer himself what he thinks and who he thinks should be in the top five of the greatest centers in NBA history. Back in a moment. Oh, Sookie, Sookie, as a big fella used to say. You won't believe what they're saying, Coach. That group of Michigan, I don't even know why I let Brian Carpenter talk me into bringing this up, because him, the Wolverines stick to football, okay? Whenever you say that Shaquille O'Neal is not a top five, not in the top five of all time centers, you're going to get a conversation. And a lot of times do things just to kick the beehive, you know, just to kick it up, open a little bit. So I said, you know what? The beauty of our format, we got experts. We went to the people. The people right now unanimously have said that he's in the top five. And now we bring you on, not that you're under pressure, but to give, again, you've already done this before, but to give your top five.
Well, look, the top five centers to me.
Centers.
Yep.
Yeah.
The top five centers are the easiest five to list. Now, I always will state that when someone gives their list, that's their opinion. However, it should be a disclaimer that these are the best five at this position that I have witnessed. Okay, and right. If you okay. do that, then right. I have more respect and give more credibility to your list. All right, but to your point, I want to know if Shaquille O'Neal is not in the top five pivot men of all time, what five were ahead of him? Because I can't see that. Now, I did not see George Mikan.
He didn't put Mikan in his. They didn't either.
Right. Well, I didn't see him. Oh, okay, so, but.
Right.
Of all the pivot men that I've witnessed, and I think I've witnessed as many as most, or more than most, my five would be, now do you want me to rank them or just give my five?
Just top five, as long as they make the five. Because my argument with the Wolverine group is that, and I'm a little bit made a little hate in their game, but how do you not, they said, well, he didn't make this. He didn't do this. Well, we know what he maybe didn't do at the highest level, but we do know what he did do. So I said, I'm not going to make an argument. I'm going to take it to the people.
Well, look, listen, you know what? I don't understand anybody who knows anything about basketball, and I'm curious to find out why Shaquille O'Neal did make the top five. Because now I can understand if someone is saying, well, Shaq had so much great ability and dominance that he didn't live up and didn't play up to his potential. Yes, I would concur with that. But because he was so dominant that 80% or 85% of Shaq was better than most. So my five,
okay,
not necessarily in any order,
gotcha,
would be Wilt Chamberlain, mm-hmm, Bill Russell, mm-hmm, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
mm-hmm,
Hakeem Olajuwon, and Shaquille O'Neal. And I would debate and discuss that with anybody at any time, mm-hmm, because first of all, you got Bill Russell, the ultimate winner in any sport.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about all the championships that he won in the NBA, but they don't mention, or sometimes they fail to mention, that he was a winner at the collegiate level.
Oh, yeah, SF.
And so when a guy wins consistently and he changes the game from a defensive perspective, he has to be there. Wilt Chamberlain, most dominant player, most unstoppable individual in the history of basketball, in the conversation. Mm-hmm. All right. And then, of course, Kareem, the skyhook. As you always say, Doc, when a player is so great that they change the rules, you got to mention him in the conversation.
Yeah.
All right. Hakeem Olajuwon, you can make the argument that he had the best footwork of any mm-hmm. pivot band. He was quick.
Dream shake.
Yes, sir. He would always say, watch out for the lateral movement, man. And then, of course, Shaq. So that's my top five. And now you can go and name some others who were great pivot men, but not in the five. Like, my next one would be Moses Malone. Mm-hmm. Then after Moses, you know, you could look at a guy like now I'm going to go old school that the youngsters may not know much about, but you do, Nate Thurman.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Nate, yeah.
He would have to be in that, you know, in that conversation. Willis Reed could be in the conversation. But I just see that five, that's etched in stone. Now, later on for another show and another conversation, if you're doing a list of five at the position, for me, the most challenging and the most talented was the three position, the small forward. But the pivot was easy, and the point was somewhat easy for me.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the midst of U.S. Open. I mean, my boy Bryce is on a tear. Edmonton just came up. I mean, we're not in a lull. We got action. This came up to the point where I thought, my big angle today, we will hit a dry spot, and you know, we'll bring out the ranking deal then. Right now, we got so much action going on right now. I mean, my boy Tank Johnson bounces back. Hers throwing dimes from off the heel. I just don't think any championship series there should be a sweep. How do you get swept in the finals?
Well, we've watched it not many
well,
times.
Well, I'm just saying, but I just think that is an absolute mortal sin. And Edmonton proved me right on that, and so did Dallas. They avoided the sweep. I just mm-hmm. think you should be fined. You should be lose draft choices. Something should happen to you if you're in the finals and you get swept.
Well, but matchups, okay? And I understand, but sometimes you have that one team that is so dominant and they check all the boxes. The Celtics are capable, in my opinion. They're physically capable, but they're not basketball intellectually capable of sweeping a good team.
Okay.
Now, when you talk about sweeps, I go back to the mid-70s when the Bullets were swept by the Warriors.
Yeah, I heard Rick Barry talking about that. yesterday on Red. Yeah, you mentioned that.
That was matchups. That was a matchup problem, and they didn't have anyone that could match up with Rick Barry. But
I don't know. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I just feel like that somebody gets exposed. Like, I thought Jason Kidd was being exposed. And then, because you can't have two, quote, superstars being one-way players or coming up short and you not taking a stand and making an adjustment or pulling their behinds off or doing something. You can't just sit there and then talk about the other team's talent. That's not your damn job. Your job is to handle your talent.
And make adjustments.
He ain't on my hot list. But it came back. Same thing with the Oilers. I'm hearing all this stuff, you know, and everybody. And I watch him. Like, again, I don't have professional eyes for hockey. No. But I can see that McDavid, he looks like Daryl Green to me, running down Tony Dorsett. I ain't never seen nobody go through traffic with a stick and a puck as fast as this dude. But they hadn't been scoring goals. And I'm going, okay, something's not working. But they come out, and then they flip the script. They get the job done, you know, and tear up the place. And I go, all right, that's kind of what I expected if you're supposed to be all that in the bag of chips. I just don't understand how you get shut out and get swept if you're legit. So that was my point.
I'm going to give you a sweep that you can relate to back in your childhood.
All right.
And you had two great teams, but one team was just so much dominant than the other. 1963 World Series, Dodgers sweep the Yankees. I know you were youngin' back then, but do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember hearing about it. Yeah, I was around, but I was out at that point, trying to figure out how snails got back in the shell. That used to be so fascinating for me. We put salt down and mess with the snails.
But that was a dominant sweep right there.
That was
a dominant sweep.
You're right. I know it happens. I am selfish. It's all about me being on the air for 3.5 hours. I need content.
Yeah, you do. But also, Doc, what about the term? Now, this would amuse me. The term, not sweet, but a gentleman's sweet.
Yeah, ain't that some crap? Who came up with that?
I don't know.
I've never understood who did that one.
A gentleman's sweet.
Yeah, a gentleman's sweet. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Coach, before I let you roll out of here. What about Boston at this point? I just heard from my leprechaun. And he expects it to be over. Like I told him, I go, it was nice. Dallas did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
Now we're going to find out what they're about. I heard, but I think there's some shakiness. So with the coach's perspective, what do you anticipate will happen tomorrow night? Who you like and why?
Well, I tell you, I'm looking for Dallas to continue to play from a strategical perspective, as you just alluded to, the way they played on Friday. Okay, but having said that, at home and being humiliated, the ball, no pun intended, is on the Celtics court. It's up to them. Who's going to show up? Will they take better shots? Will they hit the open shots? Will they attack the basket? We know that they're going to give effort on defense. We know that they're going to rebound. But do we know whether or not they're going to get more easy buckets and whether or not they will attack the basket? And so I can predict what physical talent can and should do. But, Doc, this right here with this team and both teams to a certain extent, I got to bring my man Dr. Joe Carr in to analyze this one, because who knows from a psychological perspective which team is going to show up. But having said that, this game, game five at home, Boston has to win it. They've got to win it.
All right. Well, Coach.
If they don't win this one, then the pressure's on them.
Yeah, I think the pressure's on them when they wake up. Because when you wear that uniform and those banners that are hanging over there, and that's what makes it so cool, just like the Yankees. You know, there are certain organizations that play with that purpose of what they represent. And it's just bigger than others.
But don't you want that?
A lot of people aren't used to it. But you got to have – that's a cultural thing.
Yeah, but you should want that. You should want to be with the best. You should want to have that pressure. Okay, that's why I love it.
Yeah, but you know it's different. Our military shows us that. It takes all the courage in the world just to enlist.
Right.
I mean, that's a manhood issue. And yet there's some people, they take it to another level. They go special ops, SEALs, recon. How about our marksmen? I know one brother who is listening right now. He's one of the best in the world at what he did with his eye looking through a scope. He could hit a target 3 miles away and bullseye. And that takes a lot of training. That takes a lot of discipline. Everybody ain't built like that. But then there are people that are, and when they wear pinstripes, Dodger blue, Celtics green, they understand that. You see the people up in Ottawa? I mean, I'm looking at the alley. I'm looking at these man, that you can't make that up.
No, you can't.
This is like, it's beyond religion, man. It's like, it makes me miss it more. It makes me hurt. Because once upon a time, we had that. Oh, sookie, sookie, as a big fella used to say. You won't believe what they're saying, Coach. That group of Michigan. I don't even know why I let Brian Carpenter talk me into bringing this up, because the Wolverines stick to football, okay? Whenever you say that Shaquille O'Neal is not a top five, not in the top five of all time centers, you're going to get a conversation. And a lot of times people do things just to kick the beehive, you know, just to kick it up, open a little bit. So I said, you know what? The beauty of our format, we got experts. We went to the people. The people right now unanimously have said that he's in the top five. And now we bring you on, not that you're under pressure, but to give, again, you've already done this before, but to give your top five.
Well, look, the top five centers to me.
Centers. Yeah.
The top five centers are the easiest five to list. Now, I always will state that when someone gives their list, that's their opinion. However, it should be a disclaimer that these are the best five at this position that I have witnessed. Okay, and if you do that, then I have more respect and give more credibility to your list. All right. But to your point, I want to know if Shaquille O'Neal is not in the top five pivot men of all time, what five were ahead of him? Because I can't see that. Now, I did not see George Mikan.
He didn't put Mikan in his. They didn't either.
Right. Well, I didn't see him. Oh, okay, so, but
Right.
Of all the pivot men that I've witnessed, and I think I've witnessed as many as most, or more than most, my five would be, now do you want me to rank them or just give my five?
Just top five, as long as they make the five. Because my argument with the Wolverine group is that, and I'm a little bit made a little hate in their game, but how do you not, they said, well, he didn't make this, he didn't do this. Well, we know what he maybe didn't do at the highest level, but we do know what he did do. So I said, I'm not going to make an argument. I'm going to take it to the people.
Well, look, listen, you know what? I don't understand anybody who knows anything about basketball, and I'm curious to find out why Shaquille O'Neal didn't make the top five. Because now I can understand if someone is saying, well, Shaq had so much great ability and dominance that he didn't live up and didn't play up to his potential. Yes, I would concur with that. But because he was so dominant that 80% or 85% of Shaq was better than most. So my five,
okay,
not necessarily in any order,
gotcha,
would be Wilt Chamberlain, mm-hmm, Bill Russell, mm-hmm, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
mm-hmm,
Hakeem Olajuwon, and Shaquille O'Neal. And I would debate and discuss that with anybody at any time, mm-hmm, because first of all, you got Bill Russell, the ultimate winner in any sport.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about all the championships that he won in the NBA, but they don't mention, or sometimes they fail to mention, that he was a winner at the collegiate level.
Oh, yeah, SF.
And so when a guy wins consistently and he changes the game from a defensive perspective, he has to be there. Wilt Chamberlain, most dominant player, most unstoppable individual in the history of basketball, in the conversation. Mm-hmm. All right. And then, of course, Kareem, the skyhook. As you always say, Doc, when a player is so great that they change the rules, you got to mention him in the conversation.
Yeah.
All right. Hakeem Olajuwon, you can make the argument that he had the best footwork of any pivot man. He was quick.
Dream shake.
He would always say, watch out for the lateral movement, man. And then, of course, Shaq. So that's my top five. And now you can go and name some others who were great pivot men, but not in the five. Like my next one would be Moses Malone. Then after Moses, you know, you could look at a guy like now I'm going to go old school that the youngsters may not know much about, but you do, Nate Thurman.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Nate, yeah.
He would have to be in that, you know, in that conversation. Willis Reed could be in the conversation, but I just see that five, that's etched in stone. Now, later on for another show and another conversation, if you're doing a list of five at the position, for me, the most challenging and the most talented was the three position, the small forward. But the pivot was easy, and the point was somewhat easy for me.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the midst of U.S. Open. I mean, my boy Bryce is on a tear. Edmonton just came up. I mean, we're not in a lull. We got action. Came up to the point where I thought, my big angle today, we will hit a dry spot, and, you know, we'll bring out the ranking deal then. Right now, we got so much action going on right now. I mean, my boy Tank Johnson bounces back. Hurst throwing dimes from off the heel. I just don't think any championship series there should be a sweep. How do you get swept? in the finals?
Well, we've watched it not many
times.
Well,
I'm just saying, but I just think that that is an absolute mortal sin. And Edmonton proved me right on that, and so did Dallas. They avoided the sweep. I just think it's you should be fined. You should be lose draft choices. Something should happen to you if you're in the finals and you get swept.
Well, but matchups, okay, and I understand, but sometimes you have that one team that is so dominant and they check all the boxes. The Celtics are capable, in my opinion. They're physically capable, but they're not basketball intellectually capable of sweeping a good team.
Okay.
Now, when you take us talk about sweeps, I go back to the mid-70s when the Bullets were swept by the Warriors.
Yeah, I heard Rick Barry talking about that
yesterday
on Red. Yeah, you mentioned that.
That was matchups. That was a matchup problem, and they didn't have anyone that could match up with Rick Barry. But
I don't know. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I just feel like that somebody gets exposed. Like I thought Jason Kidd was being exposed. And then, because you can't have two, quote, superstars being one-way players or coming up short and you not taking a stand and making an adjustment or pulling their behinds off or doing something. You can't just sit there. Sit there and then talk about the other team's talent. That's not your damn job. Your job is to handle your talent.
And make adjustments. And
he ain't on my hot list. Yeah, but it came back. Same thing with the Oilers. I'm hearing all this stuff, you know, and everybody. And I watch him. Like, again, I don't have professional eyes for hockey. No. But I can see that McDavid, he looks like Daryl Green to me, running down Tony Dorsett. I ain't never seen nobody go through traffic with a stick and a puck as fast as this dude. But they hadn't been scoring goals. And I'm going, okay, something's not working. But they come out, and then they flip the script. They get the job done, you know, and tear up the place. And I go, all right, that's kind of what I expected if you're supposed to be all that in a bag of chips. I just don't understand how you get shut out and get swept if you're legit. So that was my point.
I'm going to give you a sweep that you can relate to back in your childhood.
All right.
And you had two great teams, but one team was just so much dominant than the other. 1963 World Series, Dodgers sweep the Yankees. I know you were youngin' back then, but do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember hearing about it. Yeah, I was around, but I was out at that point trying to figure out how snails got back in the shell. That used to be so fascinating for me. We put salt down and mess with the snails.
But that was a dominant sweep right there.
That's okay.
That was a dominant sweep.
You're right. I know it happens. I am selfish. It's all about me being on the air for 3.5 hours. I need content.
Yeah, you do. But also, Doc, what about the term? Now, this would amuse me. The term, not sweet, but a gentleman sweet.
Yeah, ain't that some crap? Who came up with that?
I don't know.
I've never understood who did that one.
A gentleman sweep.
Yeah, a gentleman sweep, yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Coach, before I let you roll out of here. What about Boston at this point? I just heard from my leprechaun, and he expects it to be over. Like I told him, I go, it was nice. Dallas did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
Now we're going to find out what they're about. I heard, but I think there's some shakiness. So, with the coach's perspective, what do you anticipate will happen tomorrow night? Who you like and why?
Well, I tell you, I'm looking for Dallas to continue to play from a strategical perspective, as you just alluded to, the way they played on Friday. Okay, so, but having said that, at home and being humiliated, the ball, no pun intended, is on the Celtics court. It's up to them. Who's going to show up? Will they take better shots? Will they hit the open shots? Will they attack the basket? We know that they're going to give effort on defense. We know that they're going to rebound. But do we know whether or not they're going to get more easy buckets and whether or not they will attack the basket? And so I can predict what physical talent can and should do. But, Doc, this right here with this team and both teams to a certain extent, I got to bring my man Dr. Joe Carr in to analyze this one, because who knows from a psychological perspective which team is going to show up. But having said that, this game, game five at home, Boston has to win it. They've got to win it.
All right. Well, Coach.
If they don't win this one, then the pressure's on them.
Yeah, I think the pressure's on them when they wake up. Because when you wear that uniform and those banners that are hanging over there, and that's what makes it so cool, just like the Yankees. You know, there are certain organizations that play with that purpose of what they represent. And it's just bigger than others.
But don't you want that? Doc,
well, a lot of people aren't used to it. But you got to have – that's a cultural thing.
Yeah, but you should want that. You should want to be with the best. You should want to have that pressure. Okay, that's why I love it.
Yeah, but you know it's different. Our military shows us that. It takes all the courage in the world just to enlist.
Right.
I mean, that's a manhood issue. And yet there's some, and then there's some people, they take it to another level. They go special ops, SEALs, recon. How about our marksmen? I know one brother who is listening right now. He's one of the best in the world at what he did with his eye looking through a scope. He can hit a target 3 miles away and bullseye. And that takes a lot of training. That takes a lot of discipline. Everybody ain't built like that. But then there are people that are, and when they wear pinstripes, Dodger blue, Celtics green, they understand that. You see the people up in Ottawa? I mean, I'm looking at the alley. I'm looking at these fans. Man, that you can't make that up.
No, you can't.
This is like, it's beyond religion, man. It's like, it makes me miss it more. It makes me hurt. Because once upon a time, we had that vibe here.
Oh, my goodness.
We had that. And that's what breaks me apart, to have gone to an empty house to be irrelevant on the big picture, having been there. And I go, hey, can't wait to get back. And now I can sense that we got some tentacles, that we are headed. At least we're out of the... At least we realize we're not in the wrong direction. We're in the right direction.
Well,
but that's what I got to get back to.
Well, look, and you're right. In the 80s, for the youngsters in the 80s in D.C. and the DMV, we had the burgundy and gold winning, going to what in 9 years went to 4 Super Bowls and 5.
In the mix.
4 Super Bowls in 9 years and 5 NFC championship games. But then
in the mix.
Then you had Georgetown winning a championship. Yeah. You had the University of District of Columbia winning a championship.
Gary.
You had Maryland. And then you had Sugar Ray Leonard knocking people out.
Yeah, baby, GW went to regionals. Yinka Dare. Look, this area, not to mention the high school dominance.
Oh man,
to the tri-state.
Yeah,
no, man, we are not supposed to be in last place.
No,
we're better
than what?
That. And that's what I'm saying. I can't live with it. Cannot accept it. And I don't care about all y'all making your money and got your fantasy team. All that's great. But do not deprive the rest of us to get no satisfaction out of nothing other than winning. Just do that and have a happy Father's Day. Got to get the breaks, Coach. Number love for you. Enjoy your day. You earned it. We will be back. Donald is so mad at me right now. Woo! We'll be right back. You deviled eggs guy, Donald?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you throw the seasoned salt or the Old Bay or something on top?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Got to.
Yeah, you got to do that. And you know, the wing thing never fails. But fish, to me, I know my boy, one of the vagrants over at Little Havana, Cash, I mean, that catfish, it's a whole different world, man. It's a whole different world.
You got my stomach growling over here, Doc.
No, well, I'm just saying, it's fine. Hey, come on, man. It's Responsible Parents Father's Day. And I guess just the unparalleled MVP is always wing. Wings win in every category, no matter what. B. Mitch brought out some wings. I called them Brontosaurus wings the other day. I was in the studio. It's the biggest wing I've ever seen. That chicken, I don't know what chicken they did, where they got it from. I got to do some follow-up on that. But it was, and usually the bigger the wing, it doesn't mean it's better. But these were off the charts. I got to check with him. Knowing him, he might have had them done in a laboratory or something. It's going to wrap it up for the first hour here on Overtime. We will charge in to next hour. I promise we won't hog it like we did this one. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We put it out there. Top five centers, NBA centers of all time, is interesting. Do want to get your feedback on that. Everything goes right here today on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. Stay with us here on The Fan. You deviled eggs guy, Donald?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you throw, the seasoned salt or the Old Bay or something on top.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got to.
Yeah, you got to do that. And you know, the wing thing never fails. But fish, to me, I know my boy, one of the vagrants over at Little Havana, Cash. I mean, that catfish, it's a whole different world, man. It's a whole different world.
You got my stomach growling over here, Doc.
No, well, I'm just saying, it's fine. Hey, come on, man. It's Responsible Parents Father's Day. And I guess just the unparalleled MVP is always wing. Wings win in every category, no matter what. B. Mitch brought out some wings. I called them Brontosaurus wings the other day. I was in the studio. It's the biggest wing I've ever seen. That chicken, I don't know what chicken they did, where they got it from. I got to do some follow-up on that. But it was, and usually the bigger the wing, it doesn't mean it's better. But these were off the charts. I got to check with him. Knowing him, he might have had them done in a laboratory or something. It's going to wrap it up for the first hour here on Overtime. We will charge in to next hour. I promise we won't hog it like we did this one. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We put it out there. Top five centers, NBA centers of all time, is interesting. Do want to get your feedback on that. Everything goes right here today on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. Stay with us here on The Fan.